Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Is there a connection between personality and health? Why are some personalities more susceptible to creating certain kinds of illnesses than others? What is it about personality that determines why we become ill and actually where we become ill? What are weak sites and what does that mean and how is that tied to personality and how does our personality determine those weak sites? Going to be an interesting show today. Welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger and the topic of today's show is your personality, your health. It's a subject very near and dear to me as I've spent over 25 years researching the connection between personality and illness. And then also what role does stress have to do with illness? Now we're all type A's. That's one of the things that I always want to bring forward when I'm doing my personality work. In fact, it's very interesting. What stresses one personality may actually be a stimulus or a motivator to another. So when we're looking at the dynamics between personality and illness, we always have to put that stress component into it. What I've discovered over all the years of research is that our personality not only affects how we gather information and make decisions, that's what basically drives that 3.5-pound blob of brain in our head. But what it also does is how we perceive things and gathering information and how we make decisions actually can affect the chemistry of the body and the hormone flows and the adrenaline and everything else that we experience. When our decisions and the information's gathered the way we need, then everything runs smoothly neurologically. And as a result, we don't have any kind of fight or flight or compromise. But anytime we're asked to step outside of our personality and to be able to compromise our neurology, say, for example, if you make decisions based on your heart and emotions, that meaning that it has to feel right, and then you're required to make a decision logically, then what occurs is it creates a neurological chemical compromise in the body. And your personality will actually determine how that compromise is mapped in your body, how it comes in your weak site, meaning where you first start to get the indicator that you've got some stress going on, and then how it'll actually map into the body. So what I'm going to be doing on the show today is I'm going to be talking about the personality health connection. I'm going to be sharing a lot of the information that's from my book, Your Personality, Your Health. It's available on hayhouse.com or Amazon. It not only talks about the connection between personality and illness, but it maps it by the chakras and how each personality has a chakra mapping that can lead them to predispositions for pre-illness in the energy field and then also illness in the body. And then more importantly, it really helps explain why you do the things you do. And it also tells my story of how I came about being a medical intuitive in my near-death experience. I'm not sure, I always have to laugh. I have to say this because it makes me laugh, is that I'm not sure how near-death you have to be to qualify, but I was declared medically dead. So I guess that really, does come in and qualify me to be able to do this work. But it really changed my focus from just the behavioral processes in the business world, because that's where I was actively using personality, into how does it affect us from a health standpoint. So what I'm going to also be doing, I love this part of the show. Sharing the information is a great part of it, but the part that I love the most is sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about personality, yours or somebody else's, because it does impact the way that we relate to other people and our relationships and why we're attracted to some and not attracted to other people. So you have a question about personality or you have a question about your health, you can call me at 1-877-230-3062. I am going to be taking calls throughout the entire show. So I hope that you will just keep on dialing. If you can't get in, we have several phone lines. And I know Rebecca, my producer, is just absolutely outstanding at keeping those full. So call in and then I'll be able to spend some time with you, which is one of my greatest loves of the work that I do. So when I go in and teach personality, I do it by color. And there's a couple of reasons for that, is that because I have the ability to see the human energy system and have researched so much around chakras, I find that imbalances in the body that create the potential for illness starts in the first, second, and third chakra, the red, orange, yellow, green chakras. Also, I have an undergraduate work in personality, the psychology of color. And what I know is that color actually changes the physiology of the body. And in that physiological change, it changes behavior. So it's like I kind of mapped and did overlays. Then what I did is I went in, and I'm Jungian trained, for any of you who are familiar with personality. I cut my teeth on the Myers-Briggs, wonderful, wonderful instrument. The reason I left that instrument to go into color is that after 30 days, people couldn't remember if they were an INFP, an ENTJ, or XYZ, or whatever it was. And so I started looking at Dr. Max Luscher's work around color and his research, and lo and behold, I found that we have four basic personality colors tied to neurology: red, orange, yellow, green. Now, the interesting part, as I'm going to share in the next segment, is those colors, while we can mutate ourselves or try to clone ourselves to another color or take another color on as far as behavior and task, we have that capacity as we expand our consciousness and our thinking. But when the rubber hits the road, meaning when we get really, really stressed, what happens? We go back to the way we're neurologically hardwired. And it doesn't make any difference whether we spent 25 years trying to think out of the box and do things different. When we get in that stress, we go right back to who we are. So in my book, there's full detailed descriptions of each color. I'm going to do this briefly. I'm going to cover two colors to begin with. I'm going to start with the red. And part of the reason for that is in my research around doing statistical analysis of a lot of different personality assessments, actually five of the largest ones, I found that this neurology of this personality is predominant. And in my research, it's about 85% of the population, meaning the people that take the instruments, think very linear. They're very left brain oriented. Everything is very black and white. They're traditional. They're the first ones that will resist any kind of change. And so what they do is what you see is what you get. You know, what they hear is what they act on. And so there's a lot of neurology tied to that. And again, a very big audience that's of that personality color. So the red, they're the just get it done people. They measure on the bottom line. Now, if you measure on effort, they measure on the bottom line, you can see there's potential for conflict. We're all truly type A personalities. However, the red personality is the classical clinical type A. Their weak side is their lower torso, which includes their lower back, their pelvic area, the legs, the knees, and the feet. But when they compromise their neurology, what they do is they get into a hyper-stress situation, and it can actually create hypertension in the body, and it leaves them predisposed to stroke or to heart attacks. So what they have to do is they have to remember to kind of cool their jets, or if they get red with anger, that's another way that we talk color, then what they can do is they can find ways to be able to go in and to calm their body and to get rid of the adrenaline and everything else that happens when someone is under stress, as a red is. Now, the red personality by nature needs control of people and their environment. And for them, neurologically, psychologically, anytime they're not in control, then there's chaos. And that's the greatest compromise for the red, is when they get into a situation that they can't control. Now, if you're a personality that doesn't like to be controlled, as I'm going to talk about in the second segment, again, you can see why there's tension. The interesting part that I found in my research with personality is that it isn't so much the differences in people that create the tension. It's the fact that we don't communicate the same way. The red doesn't hear the same words that a personality uses that makes decisions based on emotion. The red personality wants you to ask them, what are you thinking? Not what do you feel, but what are you thinking? Some of the illnesses that the red are most prone to are chronic back pain, sciatica, varicose veins, circulation issues in the lower extremities, and again, also hypertension, and then the potential for heart attack. And when they get too red with anger, and it's like they just want to blow a gasket. In my world as a medical intuitive, that is the metaphor for the veins themselves losing their ability to function properly, the aortas, the aorta, the veins, the vessel, capillaries, and all the little fine veins that we have. Then what will happen is they start to lose their elasticity, and they can actually create the hypertension situation. The next personality is the orange personality. These are the let's just all get along personality. They are the peacemakers of the personality world. They dislike conflict because conflict puts them in a position where they can't make peace and they can't express themselves. What irritates the orange personality the most is not being able to share how they feel. That's really what is the greatest stressor for them. So when they come in and there's environments, say at home or at work, where there's conflict and where there's the potential for people to a hostile environment and everything, basically after 6 months in that environment, the orange is going to start having all kinds of health issues. They're minor to begin with, but ultimately they can lead to other health issues. And one of the primary issues that the orange deals with is depression. And part of the reason for that is because of the fact that they have this low grade level of anxiety. It uses up a lot of their chemistry in their body. Their body becomes tired. They get into conflict situations. They're not able to cope. And it's kind of like in insidious circles. Oranges are the emotional people, and they need to be in relationships, whether it's with coworkers or at home, where they can express how they feel. They are the caretakers and the caregivers of the personality world, and the greatest gift they give to all of us who are not oranges is they will worry about anything and everything. If you have something you want to have worried, give it to an orange. The other part of the orange is that they will put your emotional needs before their own. How special is that? So very rarely, I know my personality color, you know, I will try to be very accommodating and trying to be able to give to people. But when it gets to a point where I place judgment on the giving to the people that it's not serving me well, I get done. Now, the orange doesn't do that. They just keep on giving and giving. Their weak side is their lower abdomen, their lower back. They worry. They carry that financial worry in their lumbar lower back. Their small intestines, which is tied a lot to the digestive system and tied a lot to pH. Pancreas, the reproductive organs in females are all tied to the weak side of the orange personality. Now, in males, because we're not just doing the female part when we're looking at color, for the males, the area, then the reproductive area would be the testes in the males. So, again, and it doesn't make any difference of gender. I find that the neurology of these colors are exactly the same. And when the rubber hits the road and they get stressed, they're going to go back to that same decision-making in neurology. The illnesses that they're most prone to, as I said, were depression, diverticulosis, middle and lower back pain, female disorders. It isn't uncommon for males who are orange to experience some testosterone changes at an earlier age than we would normally associate with middle age or the getting older. And then also, if they're an orange personality, there's a predisposition for prostate cancer as well as the red personality having it. So they share something there. Also, yeast infections, both again in male and female, and diabetes. And part of the reason for that is that oranges so often, male and female, give so much of themselves to other people, they forget to self-care. That means they forget to eat, or when they do eat, they eat the wrong things because they're just hungry and they may binge, and they have a natural sweet tooth about their personality because they really desire to make people happy and passionate and so forth. So a lot of metaphors that I use as a medical intuitive that basically can come in and can predispose that personality to diabetes. In my world, diabetes is the loss of sweetness of life. And that loss of sweetness of life has a lot to do with what we love to do and what we want to do. And if for an orange, that's giving to other people, but they need to be appreciated. For an orange, a simple thank you is all they need. They don't want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They want a simple thank you. Just recognize that what they're doing is that they're coming in and they are just wanting you to be happy, and they don't want you to worry, so they'll carry it themselves. Interesting, isn't it? So I know as I talk about these personalities, all of a sudden this light bulb's going to go off inside and go, oh my gosh, that sounds like me. Or even more importantly, I find when I do these shows and I talk about personality, I can watch people's auras. It's like these light bulbs start going off in the room with all these auras, and they're going, oh my goodness, I think I'm married to a red, or I'm living with this person, or oh, now I can understand why I can't get along with my boss. We don't see things eye to eye. So it's really a fun way to be able to recognize differences. The other reason I went with color is it's a non-threatening way to be able to talk about differences. Now, if you're talking to a red and you say to them, wow, are you a control freak? They think you're paying them a compliment. But if you're an orange, that sounds like you're being harmful to them, and then that creates compromise in you. So again, a lot of dynamics. If you're interested in purchasing my book, What Color Your Personality is going to be redone in paperback. It'll be out in July at hayhouse.com. But Your Personality, Your Health, there's a full assessment in there. You can go in, there's 60 statements, just answer them, and voila, you become a personality color. The key, as the old ancient metaphysician said, in order to heal thyself, we must know thyself. And personality is the best way to start. So I'm going to continue in the second segment talking about personality, and I'll pick up the other two colors, the yellow and green. So if some of you have taken the personality assessment and you know who you are, hang on, we're going to get there. And those of you that don't fit the red and the orange, then you'll probably be a yellow or a green. Hi, I'd like to start taking calls with Karen on line two. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Thank you. Wow, I thought I was a green, but after hearing about the orange, I could be orange too.
Well, you know what, sweetie? I'm going to just tell you, if you're open to it, you are a green, but you spend a lot of your life operating as an orange. And interesting enough, when I go in, as kind as you are to let me touch
you. Well, you know what, Carol? I can hardly hear you.
Okay, let's see if Rebecca can, she'll come in and she'll try to turn up the sound. So if you'll keep, can you hear me now? Oh, I sound like a commercial.
Yeah, I can hear you better now.
Okay, very good. Yep, that's that wonderful Rebecca. She just keeps working with me on this thing. The lady of the knob, she just turns things. I love it. Okay, so yes, honey, you are green. I can feel it in your field. I can just see then the aura that's who you are. But one of the things that you did very early on in your age, Karen, is that in your life, well, age, you went in and you started taking on an orange personality. And sweetie, I will guarantee that your mom is an orange.
Okay.
And as a result, you took on the behavior of the orange because that was the behavior that was acceptable. And now that you're hitting this wonderful age where your intuition is banging down your doors mm-hmm. and wanting out, your green is saying, let me out, let me out. So you are green. So there you go. How can I help you, though, honey? I know you have a question for me.
Well, I was just hoping you could read my field for what I can expect for my future since I'm starting menopause. And I'm
welcome.
I'm also on a spiritual path, and I'm finding out that I'm an empath and a clairsentient, and I'm trying to decipher my feelings versus other people's feelings. And so I know that I'm going through a lot of hormonal stuff, so it's kind of like a big blur right now.
Well, you know,
I'm wondering what you can help me with.
Okay, well, let's go in and we'll just kind of take them in bite-sized pieces. First of all, I laughed around the menopause. The truth is, it's a wonderful stage. Maybe it isn't so much what we get to go through with hot flashes and everything, but the real joy of it is for the first time in our life, Karen, we can act the way we want, say mm-hmm. what we want, and people go, oh, don't mind her, she's just menopausal.
Exactly.
So there's some real gifts that are buried behind those hot flashes and all the other things that happen. There's another interesting part that happens around intuition that we don't hear a lot about. When a woman is at the stage in her life where she's really in the childbearing ages, we have a lot of hormones that are flowing, a lot of fluctuation and changes. That's a very intuitive time for her. Then also when a woman enters into the menopausal process and starts into that premenopause, gets deeper into the premenopause and the menopause, we actually are much more intuitive. We're much more, we have a lot more history of our life and the people we interact with. And then what we do is then we go in and we can take that history, we can blend it with our intuition. In your case, you use your body as your Geiger counter to let you know what you're feeling. That's the way it talks to you. And as a result, we're able, and then the hormone changes, then we're able to literally, we become much more intuitive, both male and female, in that time. Female starts about 50 years old to 52 years old. Males start their testipause, as we're calling it now, about 65. And we get a lot more insight. So you're entering a time where your intuition is going to be very exciting. It may feel a little unruly every so often, but use your body as a Geiger counter. So let's go into your intuition as an empath. One of the things is that's a wonderful gift. It allows us to connect with someone so deeply that we literally can feel what they feel, whether it's emotions or what's going on in their body. when we go there, it's like everything becomes still and quiet and we can feel what they feel. That gives us a different connection to where we're able to really help them map their self, as I call it, out of wherever they are, either psychologically or physically. But because we connect with people on that level, they are also gifts to us because they bring up stuff within us that we want to work on, or maybe that we've just kind of pushed under the rug or forgotten about, whatever, and it brings it forward. That's why it's difficult for us to recognize, is it mine, is it theirs? Mm-hmm. And one of the things to do when you work with anyone and you get through working with them, whether it's a conversation over coffee in the morning or you're doing any kind of intuitive work, the minute you disconnect with someone, meaning they leave or you shut down your intuitive connection with them, then you ask yourself inside, is it mine, is it theirs? And your soul and your body will tell you. And if it's yours, then something has been brought up that you are going to be coming in and actually working on yourself. And then what you're going to be doing is having your time. You'll find that your thoughts will be around that. You'll see that they were a gift. It may bring up some, you know, charge in the energy field, voila, and then you'll get to work on it. So if it's yours, it's an opportunity for you to take that part of the shadow that's been buried and then to come in and bring it into some kind of enlightened state to where you can recognize it, work with it. If it's theirs, then find a way for you to be able to read your body and cleanse your body. Maybe it's just going with a chi from the crown down. Maybe it's an affirmation and so forth. You will have something that you will be able to use. I'll share an example. When I do my readings and I connect with someone, I go in that reading and become an empath with them. I literally can feel them. That's how I can do this over the phone, is I can't see their energy. I can get images, but I can feel them. So my intuition's developed now to where I'm like you. I'm an empath and I'm clairsentient, where I can use my body. If I get through with a reading and I don't grab or reach for a mouth mint, then I know that I have some kind of energy inside I need to deal with. Okay. When I do reach for that mouth mint, it lets me know that I have been in a state where I've been connected, but I've been detoxing, and I will actually taste a mustiness in my mouth. So each one of us, all of you that, you know, everyone's intuitive, but spend some time with you, yourself, Karen, and ask your body how it will tell you if it's yours or someone else's. The important part is you can't shut down the empathic part. Once that door opens, it's part of how your intuition talks to you. It will be one of your greatest gifts as you're putting together your medicine bag of the intuitive things that you want to be able to share with people. And it will be your greatest gift to be able to allow your shadows to come forward. Do your own shadow work, as I call it, and then be able to move forward. So again, use your body. It talks to you. Listen to it. Find a way that it lets you know if it's yours or their, yours or someone else's. Or ask the question, is it mine? Is it theirs? And it will literally tell you. Okay. Now, I can also say as a green, one last final thing is, because your aura just opened up, it's kind of like it unzipped a little bit more. In that process, if you feel any discomfort on the left side of your body after you get through working with someone or talking with someone, then there's a shadow part of yourself that wants to come forward.
Okay.
If it's on the right side of the body, then it's someone else's. And your body is literally a pendulum. It will tell you that.
Oh, cool.
Very, very cool. Well, listen, I wish you well. Oh, my gosh, you are at a proverbial fork in the road on spiritual and what you want to do with this. Enjoy the journey and remember that. But use your body. It'll really give you what you need.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Karen. Great question.
Okay,
all
great.
Right.
Thank you.
My pleasure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to be coming right back. I'm going to be talking about that yellow and green personality. I'm going to be taking some more calls. So I'll give you the number right after we get back. So let's go ahead and please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back. Thanks.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Hello and welcome back. If you're just joining me, the topic of today's show is your personality, your health, and the information that I'm sharing is actually in the book by the same name. The book is available through hayhouse.com or amazon.com. I'd also like to tell you that I'm going to be in Rutland, Vermont. I'm going to be in Andover, Massachusetts, and Freeport, Maine, starting April 24th through May 2nd. So if you live in those areas or you have friends in those areas, they're interested in coming and talking to a medical intuitive, I'm going to be offering two events. The first event I'm going to be offering is an evening of readings. And that one, we actually put names in a hat. How's that for being high tech? And then we pull those names. I will answer as many questions as the 2 hours allows as far as health, soul's purpose, sacred agreements. I'm not real good about what you're going to be when you grow up. I haven't figured out that myself. I hope I really don't, truthfully. But again, that. And then I'm going to be offering a full-day workshop, Healing Happens With Your Help, that's going to be based on my book by the same name, also available through hayhouse.com and Amazon. And what we're going to be doing, we're going to be looking at a lot of different facets of illness and where what happens in the body is only the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to be sharing a lot of information, and then I will also be answering questions from the audience around their health during that full day. So again, the tour begins April 24th, ends May 2nd. You can go to my website, www.reitberger.com. And you can go and look on my events page, click on it. It'll take you to the bookstores that are sponsoring it. I'm very blessed by that. So if you live in that area or know someone, I would love to see you and share more about personality and about your health. If you have a question for me, I am going to continue to take calls about personality, about your health. I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. Okay, so let's go in. I'm going to jump in because I do want to get a couple more calls. So all of you are that are waiting for that yellow and green personality, I'm going to do that. But let's take Bernadette from Alberta, Canada. Hi.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you for calling me.
I am very glad to get through. and I did your assessment also, and I thought I was a green, but now I think I'm an orange too.
No, you're a green.
Am I?
You're green. Oh, yeah. So many of us in our personalities, we're all suffering from a coping personality. And part of this change that's happening in our own psyche and the kind of this global consciousness is that coping personality is getting in our face. And it's like, I don't really think I am that person, but oh my gosh, that's how I operate. But yes, you are a green.
Okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. How can I help you?
Well, I've had some, I went back to work. I've mostly always been stay at home, and I went back to work, and all of a sudden I started developing like problems in my right hand and forearm, and so then people said, oh yeah, you've got to switch to your left hand. So then I had it in both, and I eventually quit work, and I'm at home still, and I've gone for physio, and I've gone for acupuncture, and I've gone for massage. And I just think that there's probably some sort of underlying thing connected to my arms and hands.
There are. And I'm going to go in, first of all, let's do this physical, because then it's going to let your mind kind of quit dwelling on this. From a physical standpoint, what you have is that the adjustments that you had, the acupuncture would get the chi running freely, but then the old pattern would go back the way that your spine is aligned. It would go back, and then the acupuncture wouldn't give you the relief that you were looking for. Mm-hmm. When I go into the cervical part of your spine, mm-hmm. you have the atlas, which is that first cervical vertebrae. Then you have 2-3, which is in that neck part. You've got a hitch in your get along there. There's an old injury there. Mm-hmm. You either bumped your head or there was an accident. It's a bump in the head. But what happens in that particular part of the spine itself, Bernadette, is it twists just very slightly. And anytime you get any kind of shoulder tension, arm tension, it takes that spine and it just twists it a little bit. And then your shoulder twists the opposite direction. So the natural process that I can feel in you is if you sleep on a wrong pillow or in a different bed or sit wrong, what happens is that spine turns to the left a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then that right shoulder raises a little bit. And that cervical spine down at the shoulders twists the opposite direction. And what your body's trying to do is it's trying to put you in balance and trying to get your spine straight. But what it's doing is it's got a tug of war between each other. Mm. When it does that, there's a brachial plexus in that area. It's like a junction box of the nerves in the spinal column or spinal cord that branches out. And when that right, that vertebrae turns to the right, you get those that movement. What it does is it's compressing a nerve, and that's causing the message that comes from your brain to move your right hand, your right elbow, your right shoulder, isn't getting down as strong as it needs, and that's creating a misfire. There's no damage to the nerve, but a misfire, and then you're not getting the animation that you need. You don't have carpal tunnel, but you have the nerve dynamics that could be associated with carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. So as you're going in and that hand and that arm pain, what you're getting is you're getting a compression on the nerve. The muscles become even tighter because it's afraid that the nerve's going to get hurt. That tightens the right down more. Then the left side goes, oh, we've got a real problem here. Let's torque it a little bit more this direction. When it does, it goes a little bit too much. That left shoulder raises, that right shoulder drops. So you can see this kind of push-pull dynamics, right?
Right.
So what you would like to do is one of the things that would be very, very helpful would be, do you do yoga at all?
You know, I do some yoga, but I find that a lot of poses that are around the knees, they hurt my knees.
Yes, and the thing is that's because now the lower spine gets involved in the whole process, and now your hips get off. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like where that old thing where the hip bone's connected to the thigh bone, thigh bone's connected. That's really very true, and especially with the spine. In the yoga, there are certain yoga positions that would be worthwhile. If you would look for positions that would allow you to just sit and be in your body and to focus on the relaxing of the muscles themselves, and then turn your head slowly side to side and hold it for just a little bit of time, then what will occur is it will allow those muscles to relax in the fascia within them. The other thing that you might do is you might look at Tai Chi. It's a very disciplined way. It would be good for your spine. You might look at Rolfing. You might look at the Alexander technique, Feldenkrais. All of those things would be very good. But what you're really dealing with is you're dealing with the physical part of this injury that just has caused over the course of the years that part of the spine to twist a little. Now, the psychological part of it is, oh, sweetie, you don't need to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. This is where your orange is not serving you well as a coping color. Because what the orange is doing is saying to you, you know, you've got to just be, take other people's things on. And if you can just shoulder them or you can just carry them a little bit, then the people will get the reprieve that they want. They can be happy again. You can be happy again. And that's the metaphor. Your green is a cheerleader. You know, when somebody gets into a place where they're having a bad day or they're having something that is bugging them or that is psychologically consuming them, the best thing to do is do a shish kumbah. You want to just give them a cheerleader. Take your positive attitude, share your positive attitude, show them the bright side, but you don't have to carry their things. Then what you do is you enable them and it just wears you down. And so actually in that orange personality, you started at about 7 years old. I don't know if there was a dynamics in your family where someone became ill or you needed to take care of someone in your family, but you took on the role of a mother at that point in time and you just kind of got lost.
Okay.
And so when you're going in and where you are now is when you start to hurt on that side, you go, oh, who's on my shoulder? And, you know, if your soul says nobody, then it's like, okay, so what am I supposed to be doing? Kind of what I was talking to the first caller. Mm. But again, that orange can help you connect with people, but it can also encourage you to take on stuff that really doesn't do you any service, nor does it do them. So get out there and get your cheerleader green on and, you know, just kind of shish kimbah, kick them in the bottom and say, whoop, we can all do this together and so forth. I think that'll help you. The other thing that you might do is if you were to pursue massage, what they'll want to do is you want them to work on your shoulders and you want them to work on your buttocks area. That's the primary area when we can get the chi flowing that works. Acupuncture, they ought to be working on the fourth chakra in the shoulders, the front of the chest area with needles. They ought to be working on your temples with needles, and they ought to be working on your knees. And if they work with those areas with needles, then you'll get the reprieve that you're looking for. The muscles will loosen up, and then your spine will go back to where it aligns itself.
Wow,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, you are welcome.
So
my pleasure. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, so does a person kind of have two colors then, or basically one?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a great color. Great question for you to ask. The truth is, we do have a color, but you know, I talked about the reds being 85% of the population. Greens are only about 6%. So you guys really do march to your own drummer. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, you create what I call a coping personality. And then what you do is you put that on every morning so you look like everyone else, so you don't look like you're so different because you really are different. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon you become that color, and then your greens and they're going, hello, we need to have a little fun. We need to play. Let's lighten up. Whoa, this is not a good guilt place to be. Uh-huh. And so that's what happens. Every one of us and personality comes up, and we come up with a coping color. Interesting enough, Bernadette, so many of the ailments that we have in our body isn't even our own personality color ailment. So I'm going to talk more about that.
Okay.
Thanks for asking that
one. Thank you so much,
great
Carol.
Great question. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's a lot of things that I love about personality, as you can tell. But the thing I love the most is it's the easiest way to look at the differences in people. It represents the most consistent part of who we are and our behavior. It also makes you very effective the more you know about your own personality, how you can create the kinds of relationships that you are really compatible with and why you want to avoid other people. It helps you understand how you deal with people who aren't like you. It can be a very effective tool from a communication standpoint. One of the things that I also love the most about it is the fact that it helps explain that really people aren't trying to make your life miserable. They really just see the world differently. So let's go back and learn a little bit more about personality. There's two parts of personality, traits and characteristics. Again, a lot of this is in my book. I'm just giving you kind of a glimpse of it. Traits are the neurological hardwiring that you are born with. It's the part of your brain that says you're going to gather information through the five physical senses, see, hear, touch, taste, or smell. For that personality, if you can't use your five senses, information is not real. Then there's the other type of neurology that basically uses what I call vibe mail. You read the nonverbal clues, you go in and you see all of those little unspoken innuendos. Maybe it's an eyebrow raising or something. You rely on your intuition or your ESP or the skill of sight, clairvoyance or clairaudience or clairsentience to be able to connect with your outer world. In that particular case, then what you'll do is that's how you gather information. That part of you is fixed in your neurology. It's fixed from the day you're born to the day you transition back to light. The only way to be able to really change that is to do a lobotomy. So the next best thing is to recognize when you're in compromise out of that neurology and then being able to create environments or relationships or tasks or work that will allow you to work within your strengths. The second part of personality are characteristics. This is all the stuff we learn from our conditioning. This is the part that causes, like I was talking with Bernadette, this is what causes that green to become an orange. The green marches to their own drummer. As a result, that's not always a favorable thing because they're not as behaviorally compliant as most people would like. So again, they create a coping color. Characteristics are a learned part of behavior. You can change the characteristics. There used to be an old mantra from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich that if you thought a different thought, if you thought a different thought and you held that thought for 30 days, you could change mental patterns and free yourself from your conditioning. And with characteristics, that's really what it's all about. So again, conditioning, external influences, and then we go back to traits. Two very, very important ways to understand personality. Okay, so I talked about the red and the orange. Let's talk about the yellow. Now, in my statistics, the yellow personality is about 2% of the population. And in that, you heard me choke. That's, I'm a yellow. And I've always wondered why I'm a kind of a square peg trying to fit in a round world and why I just don't always think like everybody else and took a female body on top of it. Don't make decisions based on emotional judgment. I rely very heavily on my intuition and my neurology and my physical senses, so you can start to see how confused a yellow can be. They're the let's do it different people, the let's do it better people. They're mental people. They spend a lot of time in their heads. In fact, the downside of a yellow, if you're in a relationship with them, is we spend so much time in our heads carrying conversations, writing out scenarios that we're sure that we told you something when we really didn't. So again, that's one of the challenges of living and working with us. We love to solve problems. In fact, we live to solve problems. And so when we can hear a problem or we can see a problem, it's knee-jerk for us to jump in and want to try to solve your problems. And what we do is we come in and we preventative problem solve. What that means is we want to solve the problem that's on the table right now, and we want to be sure that it doesn't happen again. The weak site for the yellow is their solar plexus. What that includes is the stomach, liver, gallbladder, kidneys, adrenals, and spleen. The illnesses that we're most prone to is GERD, which is the acid reflux disorder, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic indigestion, autoimmune disorders that can be anywhere from chronic fatigue to fibromyalgia, and then also adrenal issues. Yellows are known for burning their adrenals out. They're very, very intense personalities, and most important, they forget that they have a body attached to that brain. Finally, our greens. Our greens are about 6% of the population. I can pick up intuitively a lot of oranges are out there going, Carol, you didn't give me my number. Where am I? Oranges are 7%, greens are 6%. Very close. And that's one of the reasons why these two colors duplicate each other. Plus, they both make decisions based on emotional judgment, the decision's good or bad or right or wrong. These are the let's experience it all people. They love to have fun. They love to play. And they're less inclined than any of the other personalities to take life too seriously. When a green starts taking life too seriously, they start getting in trouble. They become angry. They become resentful. They become unhappy. And you always know when a green is in this place because they use the wonderful four-letter word, and it's not love. When a green hits this place, you are in the ultimate fight or flight. They, too, don't like to conflict. However, unlike the orange that'll hold those feelings in, the green is very quick to speak their mind. If you step on their toes, that green will speak their mind. They wear their hearts on the shirt sleeve, and they display their emotions very freely. That's a gift of them. We know exactly where they are. Their weak side is their chest, their shoulders, and the neck. They get knots so bad in the back of their shoulders that it pulls their shoulders up to their ears, and what their soul is saying, you don't have any more room to carry anybody else's troubles or the weight of the world on your shoulders. So there's a gift in that, isn't there? The illnesses that they're most prone to are chronic shoulder pain, headaches, thyroid issues, heart disease, asthma, and breast cancer. And interestingly enough, breast cancer in both male and female, different hormonal reactions, but still both male and female have a high predisposition for breast cancer. One of the things also is that the orange has a predisposition for breast cancer, male and female. Oranges have a high predisposition to cancer. In my world as a medical intuitive and the doctors that I work with and in the field of psychoneuroimmunology, easy for me to say, cancer of the nice people is because they don't want to create any harm. They don't want to create any conflict. And as a result, they suppress their emotions. Those emotions have a charge in the field, and it changes the chemistry of the body, and it can compromise their personality neurology. So again, red, orange, yellow, green, easy way for us to look at ourselves, look at others. Most of this, all of this information is in my book. Again, you can go in and read about it. But also in the commercial break, you heard that I do have teleclasses called Your Health on April 23rd at 5 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. I'm going to be offering a 60-minute teleclass that's going to be on the topic of osteoporosis. And so often we think of that as just an aging process. However, we're finding that it's not only tied to hormones, it's tied to the foods that we eat. It's tremendously tied to stress. There are certain personalities that have more predisposition for susceptibility for osteoporosis. Because of all the birth control pills and all the things that are changing hormonally within us at a younger age, we're finding that young people, 21, 22, 18 years old, in both male and female, are also having a predisposition for osteoporosis. So if you ever come onto any of my teleclasses, you'll find that I don't give you the standard conventional yada yada that doctors would. Good information, but I go beyond that. And I look at the whole thing energetically, chakra, personality, psychologically, and then offer ideas on how you're able to work with the ailments that you that I feature, and then how to be able to restore yourself back to good health. The nice part about osteoporosis and osteopenia is it can be reversed. It just takes a combination. It's not just calcium. It's a combination of vitamin D3, calcium, magnesium. The stomach needs enough pepsin. So if you want to, go to my website, www.richburger.com. Click on the icon in the highlight bar, teleclass, your health, and then you can sign up for my class. I hope you do. We have a lot of fun. And then I also answer questions. See, I just love to take questions. So again, that's April 23rd, 5 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. So I hope you'll join me. Okay, let's go back and let's take calls. I've got a little bit of time on this. Hi, Martha. You're from Illinois. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you, Carol?
Very good. Thank you. How can I help you?
Carol, I have a question. Thank you very much for explaining all the different personality colors and things that go with it. However, as we evolve from our childhood and getting into relationships and having children, how do we, I mean, we have a core personality, but how do we deal with the impact that other people in our lives have on us and when they affect us so strongly?
Very good question. What we do is we start to mirror their personality colors. The gift of that is it expands the way that we relate and interact in the world, but it also can create areas of compromise, as I've mentioned throughout the show. One of the things that in the research that has been done around personality and my own research, our children's personalities are not a clone of us. I happen to have a family. I have a daughter who is an orange. I have a son-in-law who is a red. I have a yellow granddaughter, and I have a green granddaughter. And so what I, there's no way I can scientifically prove it, but I do believe that we choose our neurology to help us get through the work that we want to do in human form. And what we do is we have to step outside of that color, and that's the gift of the people in our lives. The only thing that happens in the compromise is that it's easy for us, and especially as women, for us to suppress who we really are and how we feel. And over the course of time, that can become very burdensome to the body, wear and tear. It can also create a tremendous amount of compromise within us that ultimately becomes chemical compromise and that can bring illnesses into the body. So, you know, for the orange, self-care is very important. When I ask an orange, you know, what do you do for yourself? They'll say, when? You know, they're so busy with everyone else. When I say to the red, what do you do to be able to take care of yourself? They say, well, I exercise. So do you exercise a lot or a little? Oh, no, a lot. If I really over-exercise, everything's going to be good. So again, all of us have our own ways of self-caring. The yellow personality, I just want to have time to just be have quiet to think. I don't want to have to solve problems. I don't want to be into a situation where I have to always be on and solving problems. So again, each one, the green just needs to play. The green needs to listen to music. They need to do something creative. They need to do something artistic. If we were to give ourselves permission to do that every day, Martha, we would not be in a place where our body would break down. Now, what occurs is because the orange and greens make decisions based on emotions. If the dynamics of their family and personality are yellows and reds, then they're going to be silenced. And at some point in time, as a green and orange, you have to choose your battles and decide what's important and what isn't. And then you have to decide who you're going to be around and who you're not. That's a difficult decision to make. But in family dynamics and family conflict, sometimes that's what needs to happen. Opposites attract, but it can be very volatile. And if you're a peacemaker and you don't like conflict, it's a very painful, stressful place for you to be. So again, a little bit of self-care every day. Choose your battles. Decide who's important to be around, who isn't, how long you can be around them, and how long you, you know, when your level of intolerance happens, and then see if you can go from there. That includes our children.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Okay, let's go in and let's take one more. Pyra from British Columbia, Canada. Honey, I have about just about 5 minutes, so if we can squeeze it in, let's do it.
Okay, thanks. It's actually Priya, but...
thank you for that.
Yeah, I actually, when I was a teenager, I went to see an allergist, and he put, he put me on this diet, and I really never followed it in full, but I lost a lot of weight, and I was wanting to lose weight again, but I was also wondering if I should see a naturopath for the same type of thing, or just go to a commercial weight loss center.
So, no, what I would encourage you to do is to go work with a naturopath.
For me?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have any food allergies that you see? That
yes, you do. You do. And here's why, sweetie, it's difficult for you to figure out what they are. A lot of the allergies are food combining.
Okay.
And so when you're looking at the foods that you combine, it makes it difficult for you to pinpoint one of them because there's the combination. So one of the things is that you do have a corn fructose allergy. Anything that uses a synthetic sweetener, you have a food allergy. MSG, you have a food allergy. Sulfites, you have a food allergy. Too much acidic food in your diet, you have an allergy to. That can be anywhere from meat to white potatoes. The gluten can be triggered if you combine it with meat. You would be better with complex carbohydrates. So again, I would work with a naturopath and go in and feed your body. Have the naturopath work with you. Ask your body what it needs, what it's looking for, and then feed it the right foods. For example, are you a meat eater?
No, a sweet eater.
You're what?
I eat lots of sweets, a lot of simple carbs.
Okay. Okay, so let's go in and let's just go with sugar. Sugar is acidic. It's one of, other than red meat, it's one of the most acidic things we can put in our body. When you go in and you get the acidity of the sugar from the simple carbohydrate, the insulin increases in the pancreas. You get those energy highs and lows that can give you a predisposition to hypoglycemia. It can also set off your allergies. All allergies start in the stomach.
Yeah.
It's the food that we put in.
Are you saying I should be a meat eater?
Yes, I am. I am saying that you should be a meat eater. One of the things I'm picking up is that it's difficult for you to get the protein that you need. And so you can look at ways to get your protein that can certainly help you. But you do feel like you should have some degree of meat. But in the case of the sugar, what you do is if you're going to do sugar, then I want you to drink a lot of water. What you might want to do is start doing digestive enzymes, some acidophilus, look at some yogurt. I'm not picking up lactose intolerance if the milk is cultured, meaning that it could be cottage cheese, it could be yogurt. That can help you.
Okay.
And then what I'm also looking at is that if you're going to do that, then you will want to eat some greens. Don't eat any more fruit because you don't want to spike anymore, but eat some greens. Maybe what you'll do is maybe you'll want some celery sticks, or in your water, put some cucumber and put some limes and put some apple slices in it, or just use cucumber and water. Those are the things that will alkalize you. It'll offset the acidity, and then that's going to help you. Your body has basically been trained to go from this having anything at once to deprivation. And what we need to do is we need to get the body back to know that it doesn't need to be in deprivation, because if it is, it's going to go into protection. It's going to use up the resources that you have in your body. It's going to create a weakness, and you're going to start dropping weight like crazy. So what we need to do is, if I were with talking to you energetically, what I would do is, if you're going to eat any kind of sugar at all, I would do it in the morning. I would eat a breakfast. I would have something with sugar, very, very manageable. I would have a salad for lunch, maybe with some turkey or some chicken with it. I would have another snack, maybe some yogurt or a little bit of fruit. You could do a half a banana. You could do a couple of carrots or something like that, some nuts. And then for dinner, I would do all complex carbohydrates.
Okay.
And what you'll do is then you'll retrain your body to be able to metabolize, and then you'll take that insulin and stop it from spiking, and then you'll be able to not have those highs and lows, and you won't go from, you know, carrying the weight to not having any weight at all. The other last thing is, sweetie, have you had your thyroid checked?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But when I did get it checked, the doctor told me there was nothing wrong with it. But that was
You're on the low scale. You haven't fallen off yet, but that low scale is an indicator that the thyroid isn't metabolizing the sugars that you're eating properly. And what that means is you're not getting enough energy burn from it. You're not off the scale, but that's something when you do work with a naturopath, just have them check it and then see if they can come up with something that could help balance that. Well, thank you. I hope that helped you. Again, you see, I'm not the type that says take away sugar. You know, we do emotionally eat. That's the true part of us as being human. But what I will do is tell you, please watch the amount. Well, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Contact Talk. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.